The Place of Laity in Missions, Part 8, Families Moving to a Mission Field, by Reverend Wilbur Breinsma. This is the final installment on the subject of individuals or families from established churches moving to a home mission field. We refer the reader, once again, to the past articles written in the Standard Bearer on this subject. This present article does not stand on its own. To assure a better understanding of the subject, it is good to know the biblical and historical precedent of the spread of the gospel by means of individuals and families moving to various places in the world. In the last installment, we gave answer to a number of objections raised against the idea of moving to a mission field. In this present article, we address a number of benefits. What a blessing families from established churches can be to a home mission work, or to a smaller, isolated congregation. Then, too, what a blessing a mission work can be for a family or individual who moves to live there among these new believers. There are mutual advantages that benefit all involved. There should be no confusion about the purpose for an individual or family moving to a mission field. That purpose is not to do mission work. If the calling church, in conjunction with a domestic mission committee, decides to send someone to assist in the practical labors of a mission, the selection of who will be sent is strictly theirs to make. When an individual or family decides to move to a mission field, it must not be with the intent to become a quasi-missionary who will assist the missionary in his labors. The individual saint or the family that desires to come ought not to think that they need take special classes in order to be a better witness or to be able to show their knowledge in the Scriptures or such like. The purpose of a family moving to a mission field is simply to live there and become an active, living part of the group just as they did when they were in their church. They move in order to join the rank and file of believers who, in this place, strive to walk as a witness in this world. Just the presence of a spiritually well-grounded family or individual will be of great benefit to the mission labor. How, then, can such families or individuals be of benefit? Here are a few benefits. 1. Increase of numbers. Often, the first question asked when someone inquires of a missionary how his work is progressing is, "How many people do you have there?" Numbers. We must learn that numbers do not show the whole picture. But numbers do play a part in the development and, ultimately, the organization of a mission field. Obviously, there ought to be enough people to have a vibrant congregation when the mission organizes. But there is more involved than just that. For example, most often people who have little background in Scripture, much less the Reformed faith, will decide to visit a church service or attend a Bible study. When they walk in, they are met by a small group of people. The first question is, if this is a legitimate church, then why are there so few people? They may attend a Bible study and see maybe 5 people there. The first thought is, why doesn't the study of God's Word attract more people? We may rise up in noble indignation and make the judgment, well, these people ought to come for the truth, not the number of people sitting there. The answer is, that is true, but not many people, whether churched or unchurched, know the truth anymore. Time must be given them to learn the basics and become convicted of the truth. Most of the time, however, a person cannot get beyond that first impression and stick around long enough to hear the truth. Numbers are not essential, of course, but they do help. When families of the established churches become a part of a mission group, it increases numbers, which, in turn, helps facilitate the work of the mission. In that connection, the more families with children, the better the catechism classes. Young people's society, and, believe it or not, the more quickly the desire for a Christian school will come to fruition. I have found that the desire for such a school is present soon after initial work on a mission field begins. Certainly, a small Christian school can be organized before the institution of a church. but families and children are needed to make this happen. And it might be added, so are Christian school teachers. 2. An example. The second benefit of a family or individual moving to a mission field would be that of their example. Most within the Protestant Reformed churches have had the benefit of several generations of example. When a young man and woman of our churches start a home and family together, there are many biblically rooted spiritual habits or customs they take up in their new family. Many families on a mission field do not have the benefit of a godly example left by believing parents and grandparents. They do not understand the simple ABCs of godly living in the home or in the world. Many come from thoroughly wicked backgrounds. An individual or a family or two from our established churches have much to offer simply by way of example. What sort of entertainment do you seek? How do you conduct yourselves toward one another in the marriage? How do you teach your children to pray? How do you discipline your children? How ought I to conduct myself as a living member of the Church of Christ? What ought my attitude be toward my employer? These questions and more are answered in the preaching and in Bible study, but they must be worked out in life. To this end, the example of saints who have had the benefit of believing generations before them would avail much. This does not mean that the families or individual saints that move to the mission field need to prepare themselves to teach the saints on a mission field. It just means living there. It means becoming an integral part of the life of the mission, mingling with the saints and establishing friendships. In this way, too, it would help assist the labors being done on a mission field. 3. Stability. When our mission work in Sioux Falls began, it consisted of a majority of families and individuals from the established churches. That was a good thing. In fact, that is what led to its speedy organization as a church. The mission took on it a distinctly Protestant Reformed flavor almost immediately. There were men who, with some training, were ready to take their place as elders and deacons in the church. There was knowledge in the creeds and the church order. The saints were grounded in Reformed history and tradition. In short, the presence of families and individuals from the established church contributed to the spiritual stability of the mission work. The same is true anywhere. This does not mean that the focus of mission work ought to be soliciting members of our churches to move en masse to different places in the United States to form a church. We have the call to preach the gospel to all creatures. The call of the gospel must go out to everyone indiscriminately. It is a tremendous blessing to see new believers come under the truth and in time take their place in the church. This is the focus of mission work. But a family or two or a number of individuals who transplant themselves from an established church can blend together with these new saints to form a vibrant fellowship. The established believers would lend a much-needed stability to the group, while new believers would lend the needed zeal and enthusiasm in the gospel to carry on in the work. These, then, are the benefits for the work of missions when families and saints move to the mission field. When all of these benefits are added together, there is the overall benefit of organizing sooner. Numbers and stability are factors in organization. The goal the saints long for and work toward on a mission field is to become an instituted church. When this goal is not reached for years, the saints, at times, can become weary and discouraged. Families from the churches would help facilitate a swifter organization. That would be to the benefit of the mission itself and to the denomination in general. So far, we have been considering the benefits that such families and individuals would have for the mission work itself. We need to consider, as well, a couple of benefits such saints would themselves derive from moving to a mission field. 1. A deeper appreciation for the truth. Visitors to the Pittsburgh mission, unless they come with a closed mind and critical attitude, usually find that they leave with a deeper appreciation for what God has given us as churches. This appreciation is not acquired because the saints on a mission field lack an appreciation for the truth. On the contrary, the saints on a mission field are new to those truths and are genuinely excited about them. Not all of them may have as yet a full understanding of those truths, but they hear them and desire them. They are priceless to them. These believers are not in the mission because it is the popular thing to do with friends and family. On the contrary, it is not the popular thing to do. There is no pressure whatsoever put on them from family, friends, or the community at large of which they are a part, to cast in their lot with the church. Exactly the opposite is true. They are viewed as being strange and fanatical. The saints on a mission field in general exude a kind of zeal and enthusiasm for the truth that can sometimes be lost in large congregations where a long-time member can simply drift along as one in a whole community of believers. This is not to say that there is no deep appreciation for the truth within the established churches. We thank God that among many there is an appreciation for the truth, but that appreciation can be increased, become richer, when one is part of the work of a mission. Whereas one's zeal for the church and its doctrines can wane on the part of many because they are just one among a crowd, being a part of a mission group where every person is a vital part of the work can be of real benefit. 2. A better witness. Have you ever had an opportunity to witness to another person about your faith? No, I do not mean that you argued with someone of a different Reformed church over a detail of doctrine. Have you ever encountered a person who wanted to know what you believed, so that you took time to have a cup of coffee with him in order to talk with him? Let's not use the poor excuse, "I may not have anything to do with a person who does not believe." That is a cop-out. It ignores the calling of every child of God to be ready to give an answer to those who ask of our hope. It is the calling of every child of God to be a witness. If there is one thing a person confronts on a mission field, it is the need to witness. When living among family and friends who believe the same as we do, we perhaps have little opportunity to witness to others. Perhaps when the opportunity does arise, we cringe and avoid it. The result is that oftentimes we do not get into a good spiritual conversation even with one another. I am not talking about a conversation that centers on the church or on doctrinal battles being fought in the church. I referred to the need to speak about the blessings of salvation we share with each other. When in a mission setting, we learn how to witness about these things to others. Then God uses our godly conversation in such a way that others may be gained to Christ. Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 32, Question and Answer 86. This, in turn, benefits our own spiritual life. These benefits, added together, result in the overall benefit of how we view the church. The church does not consist in that congregation or those few congregations with which we are so familiar. The church is much larger and more varied than that with which we are familiar when living in our own little world. Being a part of the mission work opens our eyes to the beautiful truth that the church is the body of Christ, gathered from the whole human race. That is indeed a blessing. What a wonderful confession is on our lips when we believe there is that universal body of Christ. I am, and forever shall remain, a living member thereof. Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 21, Question and Answer 54.